Praise the Lord, aren't we having fun today? My goodness, what a wonderful time of being in the Lord we're having already before I even get on the air. This is Clear Vision. I'm Rose, and I am so thankful to be with you today to talk about rotten crops. And in addition to the message of the word that I'm bringing you, I have a guest today, the second guest that I've ever had on my show in production here, and it's Chris Brummett, pastor, reverend, missionary. There isn't really a whole lot Chris at his young age hasn't done or tried, and I've been friends with his family for many, many, many years. I am so thankful to see what God is doing and has done in his life. He's a handsome young man. If y'all know me at all, you know I just say it like it is. And he could have done anything with his life he wanted, but he chose to serve the Lord. And he chose to serve it in a way that's a high calling. When you go into mission fields, when you work for the Lord in ways with youth, when you facilitate groups of people to bring them to the Word and know the Lord more, that's a high calling. So today we're going to have him on the air, but until we see him, I'm going to talk to you about rotten crops. Let's turn right away and get into the Word in James 5, 7, and 8. James 5, 7, and 8 says, "So be patient, brethren, as you wait till the coming of the Lord. So see how the farmer waits expectantly for the precious harvest of the land. See how he keeps up his patient vigil over it until it receives the early and the late rains. So you also must be patient. Establish your heart. Stand strong." That's my addition, stand strong. "Establish your heart. Strengthen and confirm them in the final certainty, for the coming of the Lord is very near." What are you standing on today? What are you laboring for? What are you trying to do in your life? What are you trying to achieve and bring about for your family? If you have a family, if you just have you, what is your vision for you? What are you trying to come to in your life, and what do you want to do? Are you putting off things? The hardest job you put off becomes harder. If you're putting off taking a step for the Lord, if you're putting off taking a stand and sowing that seed, putting down good seed in rich soil, if you're standing strong with the Father, if you're coming into those places where you're walking from glory to glory, then you're coming through with your vision. You're walking out the destiny that God has for you. But beloved, if you think life is a problem, then you're walking with struggle. You're walking in discouragement. You're walking with no joy in your life, no laughter, no fun. Driving to the studio today, two of my staff are with me. And one of them is a wonderful evangelist woman of God that travels with me on the road. And we laughed all the way up here, pouring down rain. And I told them, I said, you know, when I go to the studio in Louisville, it seems like it rains, it snows, it's a tornado, the wind is blowing, something's happening every time. And sometimes I've come up here and they've wondered, how did I even come, because the weather was so bad. But you know what? Inside my heart and in that car, it's not raining. No, it isn't raining. I've got my radio going. I've got my teaching tapes going. I've got the Laugh USA channel on my Sarah's radio going if I want to hear a comedy. I've got whatever going in my heart and in my head with the Lord that gives me a crop of goodness that I can enjoy and come here and share you with every time I come. What are you doing? How are you living your life? What are you sowing into your life? When Chris comes to meet with you today and be interviewed and share with you, he's got a powerful word from the Lord for you. And I want you to understand that God's word works. You hear me say it all the time. whether you are just tuning in today or you listen from program to program or you're taping the programs like so many people do, God's Word works. And when you sow that word of love and faith and patience and kindness and goodness, then that's the crop you're going to have. If you sow that word that says that you don't know who you are, you don't know how you're going to get to tomorrow, you don't know how you're going to get up in the morning. I remember a time, beloved, when I went through despairing things in my life and I lived a critical, blaming, condemning life. And every word out of my mouth was criticism and condemnation. And why had this happened to me? I've lived that life. And it was difficult to even get up and brush my teeth. I used to say my hair hurt. And you can see by the kind of hair I had a lot of hurt, don't you? So that's the kind of life I lived. And I was a Christian. I knew the Lord. I knew about Him. I'd studied the Word. I'd ministered. I'd traveled all over the world and ministered to thousands and thousands every night in a concert. And yet I stood before God and screamed at Him. Threw myself on the floor and yelled, "Why is this happening to me? Why, God, can't you fix this? If you're trying to kill me, just get it over with and don't drag it on out." And beloved, the Lord said to me, "I'm not trying to kill you. The enemy is, and you are. And you can do it. But if you don't want that life, then you go in here and sit down and write down everything you're doing." And I went in the library of my house, pulled myself up off the floor crying, went in there, took about a pad of paper and started writing everything I was doing for God, all the good things I was trying to make happen for God and all the things I'd done for God and why didn't anybody love Rose. And about three pages later, the Lord said, "Now stop and take a piece of paper clean and write down what I want you to do." Did you hear that? Write down what I want you to do. He said four things. I want you to love me with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. I want you to love other people. I want you to love yourself. And I want you to give. Give what, God? Give what? I have nothing. I have nothing. I'm going to lose my home, my farm, my family's in despair. I'm going to lose. I don't have. And the Lord said, "Oh yeah, you have. You have anger. You have bitterness. You have frustration. You have despair. You have bitterness. You have unforgiveness. And you can give it all to me. And I'm going to give you back my joy." I know you're watching today, and I want you to learn in Proverbs what Proverbs has to say about this. Let's turn over to Proverbs 9 real quick. Proverbs 9:9. Don't you love what God says to us when he keeps it so simple? And you're going to get to hear about some books to order in a minute, and I want you to write them down and call the ministry and let me pray for you and order what's on the screen. Because I want you blessed ongoing. You see, when you call me, you don't get me for one prayer. Help them, Lord, and we sure love them. You don't get me that way. You get me for life, whether you like it or not. And I'll be praying with you from now on, and I'll be praying for you from now on, as long as you live and as long as you want me to. And even when you don't want me to, I'll be praying for you. Proverbs 9:9 tells us, "They are all plain to him." Now, wait a minute, I'm on the wrong one. Proverbs 9:9. "Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a righteous man, one upright and in right standing with God, and he will increase in learning." Let's read that again. "Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a righteous man, one upright and in right standing with God, and he will increase in learning." Beloved, whatever you sow, you will reap. And you are wise in God. You have the mind of Christ. If you've received Jesus into your life, don't let the devil rob you of who you are. Stand for who you are in Christ. He says you have His mind. You have His wisdom. And if you will stand in that wisdom and you'll reach out to the Lord and you'll listen to Him, if you'll get a clean piece of paper and a pencil and get alone with the Lord and sit down and let Him speak to you, He's going to tell you what He wants you to do. And it's going to be so simple. You're going to think you didn't even hear from Him. It's going to be so simple. I love that scripture in Revelation 3:8 that says, I knew you when you weren't strong, and you obeyed me. Now I've opened a door for you that no man can shut. That's the truth. How you feel about it is not the truth if it doesn't agree with that. What God says is the truth. How you feel is real, but if it disagrees with God, it's not the truth. And that day in my library in my house, in 1992, when I screamed and yelled at God, I went in and wrote that one thing on the piece of paper, that clean piece of paper, and it started my life over. Has it been easy? Has it been a laugh your way all the way through since 1991? No, because I had a lot of things to unlearn. I had a lot of hurt to lay down. I had a lot of joy to receive. I had a lot of blessings that God wanted for me. And this is one of them, being able to speak to you. It's a blessing to come to your home. It's a blessing to come into your life. It's a blessing to pray with you, to know that the prayers that God gives me for you from His Word will change your life when you receive them. That's a gift. That's a gift from God. And to do that over national and worldwide television, that's an unimaginable gift. That's Ephesians 3:20, above and beyond all I could ask or think. When we come back, we're going to have Chris on the air, and you're going to be so blessed with this young man. See, I can call everybody young when I look at my own age, and you can call me and ask me, and I'll tell you. It'll shock you. Go ahead and call and ask. Now, I know you're going to call because you're going to be curious, aren't you? But call me and let's pray. And stay with me and be blessed by Chris Brummett coming to minister to you. We're going to share about things that's gone on in his life and words from God that he's received that's helped him come to where he is. And isn't that what it's all about? Being able to share with each other and uplift each other and encourage each other. I'm so thankful you're with me. I'm Rose. This is Clear Vision. I will see you in just a minute.
Love says, keep it simple. This timely teaching by Rose will keep you loving and being blessed at all times. You'll learn how to never quit, surrender to love, take and make time, treasure time, and become a blessed spiritual athlete. Are you ready to live blessed beyond your dreams? Are you ready to be God's great blessing? Learn how to keep it simple. Order your book today and walk in divine health, increase your finances, and increase your joy and blessings. And remember to request your 30-day devotional, 30 Days the Champion in You.
Glory to the Lord. Aren't we having too fun today? Before we meet Chris and get started with him, I know you watched the little commercial or the little program offer there for these two books. Both of these are a gift. Everything we have is a gift from the Lord in our ministry. We are publishing our little books in the thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of thousands. I don't know how many. Enough that it takes somebody, that's their job, that's all they do. One person sees to it that everything gets distributed, and if you don't call in and write, we find you and send it to you anyway. So if you want to hear the word, and I know you do, call, ask for this book, keep it simple, and learn how the word is easy to read and follow the Lord in your life. It's easy. That's why the Lord said keep it simple. And then get the little 30-day devotional, 30 days of scripture, 30 days of prayer, 30 days of teaching. And again, I say it every time, I guarantee you, you read this for 30 days and you speak it out loud over your life, receive it in the Lord, and your life will change. You change your thinking and God changes your life. Chris, I am so excited to have you, honey.
Thank you so much.
We were just talking about how long we've known each other. How old were you?
It goes teenager? Back, teenager, 16, 17 years old.
You don't look your age either, do you?
Thank God for that. I can't take much credit.
You just told me you're what, 39?
39
years old.
Before
and people September. Don't have any idea I'm nearly 70.
Now you told them. They were supposed to have to call in and ask.
Well, that was the show before.
That's right. That's right.
Well, I want today for us to really concentrate on the things the Lord is showing you, because that's what you're here for, honey. You're here to share the heart of God in you. And I see it all over you every time I've seen you, every time I look at you. And I saw that in you, but didn't know what it was when you were a teenager. Because that many years ago, how many years ago has that been? Almost 20 years.
Yes.
I didn't know what that was, so how could I name it? But I saw the goodness in you and the kindness and the gentleness. And now I'm sitting here with you on a worldwide broadcast, and I know what it is. It's the love of God.
Rose, the thing that was missing in those days wasn't the grace of God, because it's followed me through a lot of things, but it was the purpose. My life lacked purpose, and I couldn't find that in the things of this world, though I tried. And I'm sure many of the viewers have as well, but I was left feeling empty and alone, and never did discover what it was that God had for me, because I wasn't looking for it with intentionality. And that's probably the word that's been my companion since then, is being intentional about finding out the ways of the Lord and the Word of God. And that happened to me while I was at the University of Kentucky, and I was not a Christian worth emulating
in
those days.
What year was that?
I graduated in 90, so I started in
86. I remember when your mom told me you were going into ministry.
Yes, and it wasn't at that point, I promise you. And the people who knew me then would say that. But what happened was I was going to church because my mom and dad raised me in the church, and I couldn't get away from it. And I didn't need to. So one night there was a conference, a Christian conference, and a godly man came and challenged us from the Word of God.
You weren't a bad kid.
Wasn't a bad kid.
No, honey, you didn't do wild stuff. And I know your mom and dad, they're fine people, and so were you.
Yes.
You were just good, and you got better, weren't you?
Here was the problem. I was walking along the top of a fence, that narrow proverbial fence, and could fall off either direction, whether into sin or whether into sainthood. And that double-mindedness, as the Bible calls it, cost me a lot of traction in my Christian life. My spiritual growth was stunted because of that. And I allowed the world to define for me who I was supposed to be as a man. And you know where that leads. It's an emptiness. It's in a place that's really barren of fruit, of eternal fruit. And that drifting cost me a lot of my early life, which I regret. So it was on this one sovereign moment in time that I elected as a college junior or senior to spend an entire weekend at a seminar, a Christian seminar, by a very godly man. He challenged us in a way that was unavoidable for me. I heeded that word. From that experience, I surrendered to my first experience on the mission field, which took me to Jamaica, but not the Jamaica that we want to go to, the inner city of Kingston. And Kingston, Jamaica, our viewers may not know, has 2.2 million inhabitants, and 2 million of them live below the poverty line. It's a third world country.
Right, like the Philippines.
Yes, ma'am, and I wasn't ready for that culturally. As you've
mentioned,
I'm from...
Dirt floors?
Oh, dirt floors.
No shoes?
No shoes.
No clothes?
No.
No food?
One set, maybe, you know. Didn't know if they'd eat. The children, I noticed, used sugar cane for their chewing gum, and their teeth, which is beautiful to start with, was ruined by sugar cane, because that's all they had to chew on, which is cheap and accessible for them. But that experience rattled my cage in a good way. I needed a wake-up call from God. And by His grace, I had surrendered to go on that first mission trip. And that is why I sit here today as someone who's ordained, you know, a minister of the gospel. And someone who has purpose in his life and doesn't question that anymore, or the direction that God has for me. And that is a state of peace that I wish every viewer could have. But I don't know that they'll find unless they surrender to the Lord as well, in whatever way He calls them.
Yes.
But what I wanted to emphasize today...
How do you do that? Just stop. Don't lose that thought, but just...
How do you surrender to the Lord?
Look to the people listening and tell somebody that's really hurting out there that thinks they have, they've tried. So how do they do that?
In particular, I'd like to share with the viewer who is doing well. We came from a middle-class family that moved maybe white-collar along the way, and so worrying about a meal or clothing, occupation, that type of future was not in question. But to you who have more than you need to know that that's not enough, and getting more of that or having more of that will not lead you to the place of surrender. And that's what I love about Rose, is she just gives it all back. And that's what I struggled with doing, because I allowed the culture and the American way of life, the American dream, if you will, to define who I was. And that actually led me to a point where I couldn't turn the ignition on in my car. I leaned back, looked out the sunroof, and said, "Lord, I don't know what it is that you want from me or of my life, but I said, I need to know, because my life now feels so empty. It feels like I was at a dead end." And so I realized my ladder had been placed against the wrong wall. And though I had gotten up the rungs of it in corporate America and felt fairly successful, or at least headed in the right direction, I realized that I was not.
And so you made a decision.
I did. It's a volitional decision.
It's a decision.
You basically have to surrender what you're able to surrender when God asks for it. And then He comes a knocking for more. And He won't take more than you can bear at any one time, but He will never be satisfied with just a portion or one aspect of your life. Mm-hmm. And that's what was interesting to me is He kept coming and He kept asking, but He was extremely patient with me and always a gentleman. Never yelled, never took anything, but waited until I had the maturity of faith to surrender it to Him. And then what He did with it is He didn't steal it. He didn't remove it from my life. He simply took whatever that part of my life was that I enjoyed, provided it was in God's will. Mm-hmm. And He blessed it and He gave it back to me. And and today I can testify to my wife and family and what a blessing they are to me. And I can convincingly say to you, Rose, and to our listening audience, that I would not have married the right person had God left me to my own devices, because what I was looking for was not what God was looking for.
Yes.
And so in that instance, it makes a good illustration, because I didn't stop looking for someone who I was attracted to, but my list of preferences was turned upside down. Mm-hmm. Now I wanted a godly woman, a woman who feared the Lord. Because I knew that we could build a marriage on solid ground and raise our children to respect
Him. I said earlier that when I fell down and screamed and yelled and kicked and carried on, I was at a point in my life where I couldn't even brush my teeth. My hair hurt.
Your hair.
And now I have to brush my teeth 4 or 5 times a day. I have to wear makeup. I don't want makeup. I have to change my clothes 3 or 4 times. I keep schedules that, you know, when you can't even brush your teeth.
Right.
God didn't tell me I was going to have to do all this.
Right.
But, you know, I never think about it, Chris, because it's Him.
Mm-hmm.
And
when
we surrender to Him, like you're saying, then He changes everything.
Mm-hmm.
We don't change anything.
Mm-hmm.
The word in from Him in this manual here of His Bible, that changes our life.
Yes.
And it's not an issue to drive 400 miles to do anything or ministry. It's not an issue to put clothes on and off, or to change and have makeup put on, or it's not an issue. You don't even think about it. The goal, the focus, is to get to this. Don't let me stop you now. Go on.
Well, from that decision to go on that first mission trip, it changed my perspective about being an American, about having family, about having a closet full of clothes and an education, a college education. The second missionary trip that I went on was to the Dominican Republic. And I want to tell you a story about a family that I met there. And it was made up of a man, woman, and 3 boys. And one of those, being a teenager, was sent up a coconut tree, because this man, who lived on a dirt floor in a corrugated tin shack, that the chickens were able to come in and out of just as much as the family
right.
was. The dog slept right there beside right. them on
right.
the floor in a mat.
Right.
And this man was so gracious to invite myself and four or five others with me to sit on tree stumps that they had cut and to talk and visit with his family. I've been in some interesting places, whether it be on Millionaire's Row at the Kentucky Derby, and have not been treated as nice, nor have I felt that warmly greeted, and the hospitality was there. It was found in the Spirit of God.
It's
you know
from
what I
the
mean?
Heart.
It
it's
was.
From the heart.
He didn't have anything to give me, Rose, but what he did give me was far greater than any material thing that anyone had ever lent to me. And so from that experience, that mission trip had a great impact on my life, and what I value changed, I suppose, as much as anything. And so that's what I want to say to our viewers is, if you feel the Lord leading you to go across the street or to go around the world, as Rose has said, don't let the inconvenience of it, don't let the cost of it, don't let the fear of being unfamiliar or unprepared stop you from saying yes to God. Because what I have found in my years is God's not hung up on my abilities as much as He is my availability.
Amen.
And if I make myself Ooh. Available, the Lord will use me, because He won't call me to something that He won't carry me through.
Thank you, Father.
And so anytime I've said yes to Him, He yes. has been there.
Will you come back some yes. in the future? I don't think we've had enough time today. I feel like I'm cutting you off.
It goes fast.
And I don't want to do that. So Louise will get with you. We'll plan another time. And while we close out, I want you to understand that Chris is here today because of what God has done in his life. I'm here today because of what God is doing and has done in my life. Mm. And we haven't even started.
Amen.
We haven't even started. So get up off your couch, get out of your bed, get your shoes on, get your britches on, call the ministry, ask for me, let me pray with you, let me start you in the Word so you can know the Lord and be surrendered. In the name of Jesus, I love you. I'll see you next time.
Love says, keep it simple. This timely teaching by Rose will keep you loving and being blessed at all times. You'll learn how to never quit, surrender to love, take and make time, treasure time, and become a blessed spiritual athlete. Are you ready to live blessed beyond your dreams? Are you ready to be God's great blessing? Learn how to keep it simple. Order your book today and walk in divine health, increase your finances, and increase your joy and blessings. And remember to request your 30-day devotional, 30 Days, the Champion in You.